Hello and welcome to episode number 61 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for listening. What's it like with you? But for me, the weather is absolutely awful today. We've had this massive long spell of hot weather and dry weather, and now we've got this miserly, horrible rain out here. So I don't know what it's like down with you.
Oh, dear. Grey and windy today.
All right.
But similar. But quite warm. I've been loving it recently. Had some rain, so the garden's a bit happier. But yeah, there you go. Hopefully, I was just thinking, last week's show was, I had all those kind of audio connectivity issues or video issues, so hopefully this week is a lot better. We will,
fingers crossed.
We'll soon find out.
Didn't we narrow that down to a broadband issue?
I think so. I think there was a Virgin Media
issue in my area.
So, yep. Fingers crossed it's a bit better this week. So, Mark, what are we talking about on today's show?
We've got financial forecasting. Interesting. A bit about support. Client interviews, which is something we've been running and doing over the last few weeks. And I suppose we better mention the command palette.
I think that's what it's called. Curveball at the end. Yeah.
Which perhaps we can chat about that. But yeah, if you are joining us live on YouTube, thank you very much. Say hello in the chat. Hi to Charlie, Craig, Tony, and Mark. Thanks for joining us. So, financial forecasting. That was your little baby, I think. So,
well, yeah. a little while ago, I tried to build a little kind of financial forecasting model for our job relay product. So I figured we had enough data in the bank to do something useful to help us predict maybe where it was going to go. And one of the things that is really interesting about SaaS forecasting in particular is that as you grow, the number of new customers per month stays the same. So say we're adding 10 customers a month and our churn rate stays the same. At some point, the number of customers that you add every month is the same as the number of customers you lose every month through churn. So it was kind of trying to predict what our ceiling was for Job Relay based on the kind of current figures. And so if we did nothing to increase the number of new customers per month or decrease the amount of churn, like, what's the kind of ceiling of the product? So I did that a little while ago. So I looked back through Stripe to get all the churn figures, EDD to get the kind of monthly new customers figures, and I kind of plugged it all in, and it's pretty interesting. Annoyingly, I didn't keep my predictions, my previous predictions, so I can't see how accurate they were because I keep updating them with the newest data. So like I take the last 12 months of churn data and new customer data and just generate like a new prediction going forward. So going forward, I'm going to actually like just duplicate those spreadsheets and then say that was our prediction in June 2023. This is our October 2023 prediction or our June 2024 prediction. And then we'll be able to look back to see if that model is actually working or not. Because interestingly, I added, one of the reasons I wanted to do it again this week is I wanted to add RecPress to it and to see what we might expect in the future from that product. So I did that, and then I kind of showed you the models and you were like, nah, that's not how it's going to play out. So yeah, I thought that was interesting.
I think it's interesting because of the data that you obtained from Stripe and Easy Digital Downloads. I know some of it doesn't quite match up, right? Yeah. So I don't know which one's wrong, really. I'm guessing it's Easy Digital Downloads that is a bit wrong. Like Stripe knows how much money you've taken and it knows how many new customers, etc. you've had.
Yeah.
And in theory, Easy Digital Downloads should, but anyway. So when I looked at the figures, it was like the number of active subscriptions was like rising by about one or two a month. And I know that's just not reality. The reality is that number's going up a lot more than that. And it's going up at least, you know, four or five a month, probably a bit more than that.
Yes.
So I think we changed the churn slightly, didn't we? to see, well, is that wrong? Because we don't feel like we lose many customers.
There was a month. Remember, there was a month where the churn was really high, like 11%, and we narrowed that down to an old product of ours.
That's right.
That has been discontinued. So that might also be affecting some of the other months. So yeah, like you said, we kind of manipulated that data down a little bit to try to make it a bit more realistic in light of that. But yeah, super interesting. So the model basically thinks that we've hit that plateau, but your kind of first-hand experience doesn't suggest the same thing. So yeah, it'd be really interesting to see how that goes. And obviously, there's quite a big fluctuation throughout the year, isn't there, in terms of when people sign up for the product.
Yeah, but it's predictable, isn't it? We've noticed.
Yeah, it's like, predictable
it's
now.
Same pattern every year.
Maybe we're in one of those good months, so it feels like we're still doing well. We're about to hit some like really bad ones where we lose more than we gain, and actually that data aggregated over the year is going to be correct, because my model doesn't account for that.
No.
Seasonal fluctuation. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think June's been particularly brilliant, actually.
No, I don't think it has, but I don't think it
actually
is.
Actually, it has. No, looking at it, it has. It's been pretty good. But it doesn't feel like it has, which is weird. Anyway, yeah, there you go. That's what happens, isn't it? I think some of that is probably because we've sold some rec press, obviously, and some of those have been job relay customers as well, and they perhaps just feel like they're rec press customers, so you don't feel like there's a job relay sale taking place, but it has.
That's
kind of gets
true.
Absorbed into another sale, and then you think it's disappeared over there, whereas actually it's a sale of both, so you've got to keep that in mind.
Yep, yeah.
But yeah, I don't think it's plateaued yet. I don't think we're far off, but I do think there's some growth left. And I did some quick statistics about like the number of recruitment agencies in the UK, taking a wild guess at like how many of those are running WordPress based on the WordPress stats that we know, and really did a conservative estimate, I think it was, instead of like, we know that 40% of websites are WordPress. Well, I think I did like 30% of those recruitment agencies will be running WordPress.
Yeah.
How many will be using a posting service that we support? Again, I think I probably did like 10% of them might be, or something like that. And it still comes up as that there is, you know, a good in the hundreds of people that you should be able to reach. So I still think there's growth in it. Obviously, it's going to get smaller and smaller as we get more and more, as you've said. I still think there's stuff to be done. So, which is good news. Good news.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, we'll keep our eye on that forecast and see how accurate it is over the next 6-12 months. Interesting.
And what about RecPress? Are we going to be giving up building websites next year then if RecPress is a success? What does the forecast say?
We just don't have enough data because we've only got 1 month's worth of like new customer data, and we've got basically no churn data. So it's pure guesswork at the minute. I think once we have a few more months under our belts, then we should be able to see how that product's going to play out.
Seems to be received well, doesn't it, with customers and people that we talk to on calls and things. They seem to
absolutely
get the products and understand what it is and what benefits it'll bring. So,
and it is now between those really taking up quite a lot of our time. I can see the website builds, you know, becoming much less.
Yeah, me too. Good. Financial forecasting, I always like a bit of that. Does anybody else do that sort of stuff for their businesses, I wonder? Whether it's for products or whether it's for, you know, like number of sites you're going to build and forecasting data like that. It'd be interesting to see how you do it. Is there any tools for that or stuff like that? I'm sure there is. I think this is just a basic spreadsheet that you set up, wasn't it, Keith? Which worked quite well, actually. It wasn't a particularly complex thing. But let us know in the comments if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah.
The next topic we're going to look at is support. So obviously, as we build and grow our products, our support requirements of those products gets more and more and more. And I don't know, the last few days just seem to be like never-ending support requests coming. Most of them are like little things, aren't they? It's not like, you know, it takes you half a day to fix something, but just seem to be bombarded with messages and things. And I think the reason why I put this in was because when is support, what are the boundaries of support? And where does support end and like custom development begins? And I think this is probably an issue for lots of WordPress plugin businesses, you know, which get requests for how do I do this? And actually, well, that's just a bit outside of what the core product does. So how do you help, but you can't solve that problem because it's outside of the boundaries of what your support was and what those boundaries are. I think it's really hard because my sort of default reaction is that I want to be as helpful as possible. But sometimes I think I've got to rein myself back in and say, actually, that's not support. That's now like going out and above and outside of what support is, which sounds on the face of it like something that's good to do. But I think you then have to support the thing you've just done with them.
Exactly.
And then it becomes a never-ending circle almost. You know what I mean? You're not supporting the product then. You're supporting that custom thing that you've done for that client. And because they've done something custom, things you might introduce in the future with your products will affect them differently, and it becomes a bit of a grey area. So I think we need to be a bit more strict on the boundaries of support. And I think to help with that, we need to have better documentation for developers on using some of the stuff that we would use to do some of these things that clients want.
If we have lost Mark. If someone's watching along... can you let me know if you can hear me or if you can hear Mark?
So
are you back?
I'm back, I think.
Yeah.
I never left. I thought you'd left, but anyway.
Yes, one of us did.
Who knows? I was just saying better documentation for the developers so that we can point developers to the documentation to say, look, if you want to do something like this, this is what you could use and this is how you could go and do it. So that's going to be one of my jobs over the next few weeks to try and better document some of the more common hooks and filters and things that people can use.
I think I generally agree with you in the sense that we need to be slightly stricter. Because I think, it was definitely my initial feeling that we should just be as helpful as possible, and then that's going to be a good thing. They're going to love us. They're going to recommend us, blah, blah, blah. But what actually ends up happening, like you said, is you give them that, you just go that little bit beyond, and then that opens up an expectation, and it opens up potential for that thing to go wrong. And then when they come back on that, and you say no, then they're probably more annoyed than they were if you just said... if you just had that hard line at the start. So and we've had quite a lot of that, haven't we? And it's like, well, how do I do this? And you're like, well, you could try to do it this way. And there's like, we've tried to do it that way. That doesn't work. What next? It's like, well, we've kind of already done the thing, gone above. We can't just keep doing this free development for you, basically. So, I think you're probably right, and I think you're probably right that maybe we need some better documentation and probably some better canned email responses to send when those things come up, because that's one of the things that's really difficult to deal with whenever those emails come in. It's like, how do I respond to this without sounding like really unhelpful and ungrateful for their custom, whereas actually we want to be really helpful but within reason. It's a constant battle for us, isn't it, really?
It is. I think it's defining what is support and what isn't support. And I think that's easier than we think, actually. I think we need to be a bit more strict with it, like you said, and being clear with clients what is and isn't part of our product. And I do think we'll get there, which is good. Mark has a few comments to say on this. Ancillary support is why I've tended to stay away from product stuff. Unless you can keep the product support development channel separate in your agency, you might run into problems. And then he says, one of you deals with product support, the other deals with custom development. Interesting idea.
To be fair, you've been doing the vast majority of the customer support up to this point.
With
RecPress now, that opens it up to me, which I'm actually in some ways really grateful for, because I can contribute to that side of the business a bit. I'm also not loving it in some ways, but then sometimes it's really, really rewarding. You know, someone comes along and says, is there any way I can do this thing? And you're like, yeah, done. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. And that feels amazing. You know, I had a day yesterday where it felt like I was doing that most of the day. It's like, oh, can you just help with this? Yeah, it's done. Can you help with this thing? Yeah, it's done. Fixed it, you know, improved it. And that feels really good. But then, the few little negative experiences tend to outweigh the many positive experiences sometimes. I think that's just human nature.
Yeah, that you've got to just remember, haven't you, that most of them we have interactions are quite positive. Mark just mentioned again, documentation will filter out the real chunk of the support stuff you get asked. Yeah, definitely. And I'm working on that and have been working on that over the past 12 months, really, actually putting some pages up for even just simple things like how do I cancel my subscription? How do I change my address? Stuff like that. Instead of having to sort of type the same email out, you just say, click this link and it'll tell you everything you need to know. So that's good, definitely.
Yeah. So the other thing we've been doing this week is some of these client interviews. And I think we've spoken about client interviews before in the show. I'm almost certain we have. But we sent out an email to our Job Relay customer email list saying, basically, can we pick your brain? You know, we love to chat to our customers. We love to hear how you're finding the service and the product and the support. If you have any ideas about it, etc., etc., etc. So we wanted to find out a bit about Job Relay. We also wanted to find out a bit about their job boards in general with a view to what we could do with RecPress, which people were very happy to talk to us about. And then we just kind of opened it up to the customer to say, do you have anything you want to ask us about your WordPress website, your job board, your what integrations, whatever else? So it's kind of like 15 minutes of free consultancy from us for 15 minutes of their time. And I love doing these. I think they're really, really good.
Really good. Although the last time we did them, social images came out of that and everybody wanted it and then no one bought it. So
yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, so but yeah. These were good. I enjoy talking to customers and they tell you good things. I think you get real insights from them, don't you? Of the stuff that like worries them and the stuff that they like and don't like and things. So I was surprised at how many say yes as well.
I just expected most people to say no.
Actually, we've had three already, and then we've got another like three or four lined up.
Yeah,
so. It doesn't sound very many, but I think that was quite so positive. Expected not to get as many, but definitely.
Yeah.
Anyone else do client interviews?
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
We've tried. It's interesting because obviously we bring the conversation from Job Relay onto their job board in general with RecPress in our heads. We said, didn't we, before we started the calls, we're not going to sell RecPress. Like, that's not what this is about. We're not like, you know, switching it and doing a sales call, but it's really hard not to whenever they start talking and that's exactly what they need. And it's like they start complaining about, oh, I can't do this on the job board and I can't do that, and if only I could style it differently. And I'm like oh my god, we have exactly the thing. So I think we did in a couple of situations just say, look, we do have something, here's a link, you can go and kind of check that out. But yeah, I didn't want to make that the main focus.
Only when it was obvious that's what they wanted, I think, really.
Yeah.
And it made sense to discuss it. But I mean, the good thing about them is we hope, and I think we have actually, to get out of the, like, if people start mentioning the same sorts of things about their job boards that they can't get working, etc., then making sure that RecPress solves those problems. We know it solved some problems already that we're aware of, but it's nice to hear people say the same sorts of things. And say, all right, well, why should we build it in the right place? Let's make it work.
And some of that's come out. Like, there was some stuff around how we displayed the salary, and there's a few little things that have come out of that. I think, oh yeah, that would be, if we fix that for you, that'll be useful for all of our customers, and that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's really good. There was slightly linked to this support scope question. We had one call, didn't we? And it was a really nice call. Like, I really enjoyed the call. It was quite insightful. It wasn't quite about the stuff that we were kind of hoping to talk about, but it was fine. And this client made a bunch of suggestions and asked questions, and we're like, all right, yeah, we'll see if we can help you fix that, and we'll see if we can change this for you. One of them being, can we make it look like this, like, can we change the look of it? And I was like, yeah, I'll see what we can do. Send me some designs as to the kind of thing you're after, and I'll have a look. I might be able to just do that really quickly for you. Anyway, I got the designs through, and it was not something that was going to be really straightforward and quick. So I replied and said that, and said, but you can do it. Like, you, there's a custom CSS field here. You will be able to achieve this, but it's just not something that, like, it's not like
a 10-minute
quick
job.
Five. No, it's really not. I got such an arsy response back. I was really shocked. Yeah, so this person said I'd been very cheeky and this is not what I'd promised and et cetera, et cetera. So it's one of those situations where, like, you go out of your way to try to be helpful, and then I kind of got thrown back in my face a little bit, but I think I've just got to let that one, let those waves crash over me, to be honest. It was a bit annoying, but I don't think there was anything I could do. At the time, I was like, right! And I was gonna, like, I was like calculating or composing all these email responses in my head. This is what I'm going to say to this person. I was like, no, I'm not. Do you know what? I'm not. There's no point.
There's nothing to learn from it, is there? Sorry.
No, there wasn't. But yeah, that was a bit of a shame. But that's, I mean, that's whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. C'est la vie.
We'll continue on with those next week. We've got a few more lined up, so it was nice to chat to your clients. If you're not doing it, I would recommend giving it a go for sure. And if you do it, open questions obviously are the key to making it a good interview.
It's hard, isn't it, to stay quiet? Just to ask the question and shut up. I'm really bad at it.
Yeah. So like we start off these calls essentially saying, what's your experience with Job Relay? And let them talk, essentially.
Yeah. And you've got to be prepared for the silence.
Some have, like, literally just say, oh, it's brilliant, I really love it.
Yeah.
And then you've got to prompt, haven't you, and sort of, like, you might say, well, you know, what about the sign-up process? How did that go? Or, you know, how did that, you know, did you speak to me? Or did you speak to you, Keith? Or that sort of thing. But then some will just, like, jump straight into the thing that they want to fix straight away. It's been really good, but and then they'll straight away, and it's really good. So open questions really help the things flow, and like I said, keeping quiet and listening.
But having those follow-up questions, if that open question doesn't land,
keep it moving on and lead the conversation. It depends who you're talking to as well. So, some people like are really good at that sort of conversation, and then they'll just go ahead and tell you everything they know, and some will be a bit more closed and a bit more nervous and want some help. So you've just got to work it out on the call, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Which is good. Anyway, we've done, 22 minutes. Last topic is the command palette. Now, I don't know if you have seen this. It has been something that's been added to the block editor initially, I think. I think it only works in the editor or in the site editor. And it's a bit like, what was that on the Mac called that you used to be able to do this? It's like you type commands.
Spotlight.
And then Spotlight, that's it, on the Mac.
I use that all the time on the Mac.
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah. So you can type in commands that get you to places quicker. So, for example, it might be like editing a specific template. You can just, I don't even know what the shortcut key is on the keyboard. Is it Command K, I think it might be. Can't remember. To get
on the WordPress one?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Not sure. And you can type these in. So my initial reaction to this was, well, it sounds okay, but there's so many other things we need to fix first. Why are we building something completely new when I don't think anyone has like been crying out for this and saying we need this? I just don't think that's the case. And it actually already exists. I know Ross Wintle has a browser add-on that does exactly this thing, and it's probably miles better because it basically takes all the things in WordPress and turns it into a command on what's it called? I can't remember what it's called.
Turbo admin,
thank you.
And it's so I had exactly the same thoughts as you, Mark. I was like, what on earth are we doing investing developer resources and time and attention into this new API, this new tool, when the fundamentals are not good yet? Yeah. Like, there's so much that is just a bit crap at the minute with the project. And it just seems like every week there's a new feature and a new API. Like last week or the week before, we were talking about the behaviors API and the interactivity API. Okay. And now we've got a command palette. And then we've got this thing. And, reusable blocks are being changed to sync patterns. And like, those things are good. So that kind of development, at least there is some good stuff going on as well at the same time. But it just feels, and this is just a feeling, like, I don't know, but it feels like people are just coming up with ideas and it's like, yeah, let's do it. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Can we just, like, can we just stop? And like you said, the, one of the whole points of WordPress, one of the kind of, like, the philosophy or whatever back in the day was you just do the core really well, yeah, and then you let plugins extend that. There is a plugin that does exactly this thing. So if we all felt like we needed it, why don't we just promote Ross's plugin?
Yeah.
It's been done. It's there. Like, just go, you know, it's... And the other thing I would say, and apologies to Ross, you know, if this doesn't come across well, I don't think it did that well. The plugin, like, Ross was, like, constantly trying to promote it and tweet it. And I think in some of his tweets he was saying, like, does anyone actually want this? Like, it's really good, but it's, like, not getting the kind of the feedback and usage that he was expecting. I tried it. It's brilliant, but it didn't stick. Like, the... And like you said, who is calling out for this? Where in the community is there a clamor for a command palette? Like, there's a clamor for a lot of other stuff to be fixed. And just, maybe it's not fun fixing stuff, but it needs to be done. Like, before we just throw feature after feature after feature at this bit of software. Rant over. There you go.
You couldn't have summed it up better. No one's asked for this yet. Yeah, we've got it. And I don't know. I think...
Well, we're assuming no one's asked for it. Maybe there's something somewhere online where, like, thousands of people have been like, we need a command palette. But, like, my guess is that that hasn't happened.
No, my guess. And correct us if we're wrong on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, you said I tried Ross's Turbo Admin, and it's really good. Like, it's really, really good.
Yeah.
But I never used it. I just forget it was there. So it's kind of not in my workflow, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I need to really focus on it for like a week to get it in my head that I can, I don't know, is it command space or whatever you do? I had it there and never used it. And I kept defaulting to what I always did, even though it's a time saver. But if you already, I think I do use the keyboard, don't get me wrong, for like navigation, but I do use the mouse a lot, obviously. And I think if you're a fully focused keyboard, you know, shortcut user, you'd probably just pick it up straight away like that, I think, and think it's wonderful.
I thought the apparently heated discussion around what to call it was quite insightful. Because the original idea, I've got the article up somewhere, or do I? I might not.
No, yeah, they went for a strange... What was that name?
Well, they were going to call it Wayfinder. And it was apparently to encourage a sense of discovery and exploration. Like, oh my God, like, what kind of world are we living in now? We're not selling Jeeps or like Range Rovers. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And even that kind of marketing spin on a car is ridiculous. On a WordPress tool, I was just like, are you actually being serious? So like Wayfinder, right? It's not the worst name in the world, but what is it? But then I got to think, why are we not calling it Command Palette, right? And it's probably because that feels very developer-y. And then I'm thinking, yeah, because the only people that want this, if any, are developers. In which case, why are we doing it? Because like so much of what's happening in WordPress is making stuff easier for non-developers. Why are we building what seems to be a very developer-focused tool? Anyway, I will just play devil's advocate for a second, because it might be that this whole API is very useful in ways that we haven't thought of. So they're going to use this command palette API to do really cool stuff that isn't the stuff that we just assume it's going to be used for, like getting from page to page within the dashboard, or I don't really know, but that's the only thing I can think that makes it worthwhile. But
if that is the case, and let us know what you think, by the way, about the command palette in the comments. Do you think it's useful? Are you going to use it? Do you use something like that? It'd be good to know. But if that is the case, and this API has got like earmarked for something, why don't we know about that? What are we not being told about that? I don't know. It seems...
Yeah.
It may become useful, don't get me wrong, like for something.
That's what I'm thinking. It's probably going to be quite good. It just feels like, really? Like,
it's not
right now?
Like I say, I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, it's terrible that that's in there. People will use it. People will love it. It will serve a purpose for loads of people, don't get me wrong. But there's so many other things that could be done first, surely.
There's that whole 80-20 rule that I thought WordPress kind of tried to adhere to. Like, we build for the 80%. And plugins and whatever else cater for the 20%, you know. And this feels like a less than 20% feature to me. But there you go. I think we've rambled on and ranted on for long enough about that one. I mean, it's probably going to be very good, like you say. So let's see how it goes.
Yes, yes. Right, let's wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody, on the live YouTube. If you want to listen to us as a podcast, you can do. You'll find us on the usual places, WP Cafe Show. And if you haven't already subscribed to the YouTube channel, we'd really appreciate that. And liking the video would be awesome too. Until then, we will see you next week. I think we're okay for next Friday.
I think so.
As usual. Yeah. We try and do it every Friday. Other than that, you'll hear about when the show is anyway, no doubt. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you next time.